Your research has looked at the way we find the concept of home orally. So what sounds give us a sense of control, comfort, or even home? Michael James Walsh, Assistant Professor of Social Science at the University of Canberra, joins us now. Good morning, Michael.
Hello there. How are you today?
Very well. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Can you begin by explaining the idea of sonic havens?
Sure. Well, look, this project really comes out of an interest in how music is used to kind of frame people's experiences in everyday life. And we looked at kind of how music is used in the home in particular to kind of think about how people can modify and enhance their kind of context through listening in particular ways with other people and also by themselves.
So what is the common makeup from your research of the music or sounds that we use to find a sense of home?
Well, so it actually really comes down to, I guess, listener interest and music that they're engaged with. But one of the things that we found was, like, we looked at younger participants, for instance, would use things like headphones in their rooms to actually engage more kind of intimately with music, even though, for instance, they didn't necessarily need to have, I suppose, their headphones because they were in rooms secluded already. And so we had participants kind of talking about how they would engage really quite a lot. The first time they listened to a piece of music might be, you know, with their eyes closed, lying down, kind of really fixated on the music to engage with it.
And one might guess that complete silence could be something that could bring us comfort. But why is it that noise and music is the makeup of our sort of oral haven?
Well, I think it's a really interesting point that you make there, because sometimes silence can be what we crave, but in other times it can be, you know, quite almost alienating. And so it's really a thing about, I guess, the extent to which we can actually control, I suppose, perceptions and sounds in our context, and if they're actually noise out of place or if they're actually part of kind of how we're cultivating the sound space. So, for instance, when you hear music from your neighbours at 3 o'clock in the morning, it might be quite kind of enjoyable for your neighbours, but not necessarily, I suppose, for yourself when you're trying to sleep. So I really think this concept of kind of sound or noise out of place is a really good way of kind of thinking about, you know, how we go about cultivating those actual sonic havens.
And so with that in mind, why are, I suppose, headphones, for example, such common use for sort of finding this sense of home?
So one of the really interesting things is that we do have people even using headphones within their homes, but generally that was, in our sample anyway, for people that were younger and also for people that were kind of negotiating, I suppose, their own personalised sonic havens within shared accommodation. So we had a number of participants that were actually in living arrangements where they might be sharing with 3 or 4 other people. We had, young adolescents sharing with family members. So in that context, headphones become much more prominent in actually engaging with music vis-a-vis kind of people who live by themselves or in kind of more coupled relationships.
We're speaking with Michael James Walsh, Assistant Professor of Social Science at the University of Canberra, about how we use music to make ourselves feel at home and why are sounds so powerful at giving us a sense of home.
I think it's partly due to the fact that we use it to almost embellish or kind of add our own type of personalised colour to the environment in which we're situated within. And so that's kind of quite, I think, an interesting way of thinking about music as kind of an enhancer to space and context in which we call home. But what's really interesting about this is, though, that this isn't done in a universal fashion across our sample at the very least. And even things like how people kind of go about cultivating their sonic havens is dependent upon potentially if their neighbours are at home or not. So we've had participants kind of describe how they are musicians themselves, and they would be actually quite careful and courteous in terms of thinking about how to play in contexts where it might impact upon neighbours, for instance. And we don't often think about kind of neighbours as being part of that kind of cultivation of the sonic haven, but in this case our research suggests that certain people, not everyone granted, was actually aware of kind of deference towards neighbours.
And you touched upon this before with the idea of neighbours at 3 a.m. playing their music quite loudly, but how can sounds or music be harnessed for the opposite, to give us a sense of discontent or disconcertment?
Well, it's actually very powerful at providing discontent and disempowerment. And in fact, we only have to think of examples where governments and military organisations actually use music as a way of torturing people. there's some really interesting research that's come out of the US that talks about the use of music in contexts of actually torture. And it's one of those things that doesn't necessarily leave a physical imprint upon the prisoner, but nonetheless kind of clearly has psychological implications for how that person is able to actually not cultivate, in that case, their own sonic kind of haven. And so it's the opposite side of the coin of what we're kind of describing in this piece, where, you know, for the most part, people use music as a way of cultivating a haven, but in other cases it can be used very much directly against the individual as a way of diminishing and stopping them effectively. Yeah.
And is the expanded ability to access our sonic havens through technology seen as a positive?
Well, for the most part, yes, but there are questions really around how things like streaming services actually impact upon exposure to different types of music and kind of the way in which we engage with music. So there's no doubt that streaming services have had a big impact upon discoverability of sounds and music genres that up until relatively recently were quite more difficult to access. So I think that's really another question in terms of how streaming services actually have impacted upon people's capacity to engage with music. But you only have to think about all of the different types of playlists that actually are now kind of popularized on different streaming services to see how important it can be. I mean, they're streaming, there's playlists for doing exercise at a certain beat per minute. There's, you know, playlists for studying. There's playlists for going to the shops. There's, play, you know, so there's kind of obviously quite a significant role of music being induced here, and the streaming service is aware of this, and people are obviously using it in this particular way. So, there is something very much that needs to be further explored.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that research expands. Michael, thank you so much for your time this morning.
No problem. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Michael James Walsh, Assistant Professor of Social Science at the University of Canberra, speaking about how we use music to make ourselves feel at home.